What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We approach 4 o'clock here on this Football Friday, Divisional Weekend Football Friday. And there is something sad about this weekend as we get set to watch a lot of football beginning Saturday at 4:30 with the Chiefs against the Texans, and then the Lions against the Commanders, and then the Philadelphia Eagles against the Rams, and then the Bills against the Ravens. You know what's sad? We're not watching the Jets or Giants. So I want to make you smile. And I'm not just going to make you smile. I'm going to make Tiki Barber smile.
How?
Because I got to play something for you that I think is the coolest freaking thing in the world. You've accomplished a lot in your career.
Yes.
Some may say working with me is one of the top ones.
It
I'm
is.
Just kidding.
I'm here an afternoon drive.
That's true. That part is cool. The working with me
the
is
ride,
like, hey,
whatever.
But something happened to you in this round. And it wasn't necessarily something you did on the field, though it kind of is. It's something that was said about you and appreciated about you.
Hmm.
So I don't know if you remember this, Tiki, but you played a playoff game with like a broken arm.
I do remember this.
Do you remember this?
Of course. I broke my arm against the Cowboys in the penultimate regular season game of the season.
Mm.
Philippi Sparks, who used to play for the Giants, was playing for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I was scoring a touchdown and I braced myself. He was flying across the field and hit my forearm. And I was like, man, that hurt. But not terribly so. Played the rest of the game. They looked at it after the game. No issues. Probably just a bruise. We'll figure it out when we get back home. I just kind of just didn't even worry about it
right.
anymore. Practiced all next week. We play the Jacksonville Jaguars to secure the division or the bye week. The first
the
round
home
bye.
The home field advantage.
The home field advantage. Scored a touchdown in that game. Richie Sorgberg escorts me down the field. Land in the end zone. I'm like, man, that hurts. X-ray in the basement of the... I didn't get an X-ray in Dallas. X-ray in the basement of the stadium. Like, oh, yeah, you got a fractured ulna.
Mm.
So played 2 weeks with a fractured forearm, and they wanted to do surgery. I said, that's not an option.
Look at that.
And so I played with a broken forearm.
That's a warrior right there.
We had a bye week, though.
So, oh, okay. That so makes it easy.
It helped.
I'm sure it helped, but you still played with a broken freaking arm.
Right.
And so what's so cool about that is we remember how tough that is. How about John Madden, the great John Madden? And maybe I'm biased because I grew up listening to John Madden. So did you, though, too.
Yeah.
I think we all did, at least most of us in the audience. Yeah. Some of you are a little bit older. You go before that.
I think some of the coolest things was doing the production meeting and John Madden is sitting in the production meeting.
Yeah. I can only imagine that, right?
It was awesome.
Listen to what, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but listen to John Madden describe Tiki Barber as he's facing the Eagles divisional round 24 years ago. It's 24 years, yeah? 24 years ago. Listen to the great John Madden.
When you play this game, and you play as many games as Tiki Barber does, you have to be tough. And then when you're playing it in a playoff game with a broken arm, and you can only carry the ball in your right arm, you can't switch it, you're something.
You're something! John Madden said, you're something!
Yeah, that's meaningful.
Dude, you're that is meaningful, man. That's awesome.
Best to ever do it.
He also said this about Tiki Barber. You ready for this? This was a good one. This is my favorite one. This may become a drop now in the history of the radio station. You ready?
All right.
Here it is. This is what John Madden said about Tiki Barber.
Tiki Barber's a tough little guy.
He's a tough little guy. Tiki Barber's a tough... The next time you argue with Sean, I think that's what you got to play. John Madden saying, that Tiki Barber's a tough little guy.
Tiki Barber's a tough little guy.
That game was awesome, though, because I do remember, as an IFO... Here are the Giants, miraculous kind of turn after it looked like Jim Fossil was going to be fired. I'm putting chips in the middle of the table, the whole thing. You guys not just make the playoffs, you're the number one seed, and you're playing the Eagles. And even back then, as a young Jet fan, I hate the Eagles. I hate Philadelphia. Like, it's just disgusting. And at that point in my life, I really didn't have that much interaction with Philadelphia because the Mets and Phillies weren't rivals. I'm not a Giant fan. The Jets have nothing to do with them. Nets, Sixers don't mean a damn thing. Like, there was nothing there other than, hey, that's an annoying, obnoxious city that's really close to our city. And so when you guys were playing them in the divisional round, I wanted to whip that ass. And you guys did. Beat them up.
Without
kickoff return for a touchdown, right, to start the game?
Ron Dixon and Jason Sehorn to this day with what I think is the most incredible interception in NFL history.
Yeah. I mean, it was an ugly game.
Didn't score an offensive touchdown in the game.
Yeah, we had 237 total yards.
Yeah.
237, that's nothing. The Eagles, however, had 186.
Wow.
And three turnovers.
Terrible, though, fumble by Ike on the end around with Kerry on, I forget.
Yeah, and we had three turnovers, too. It was an ugly game.
It was a rock fight, as the kids say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you guys won it. And obviously the next week, you beat the crap out of the Minnesota Vikings, then you're in the Super Bowl. This is what's so sad. We don't have our own divisional game to be excited about. We can think about past ones, and we can also like look at these games, what we do with this jaded eye, because our teams aren't there. And I think what really, really sucks is it feels like our teams aren't even close.
The Giants suck.
Imagine the feeling of walking out of the Meadowlands with Eagle fans there crying, heading back down the turnpike.
Well, you know what it was that year? We weren't a great team. We were just hot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you 7-4 and turned it on.
You look at some of these games, and I'm like, all one-score games. And lots of turnovers in a couple of them. And this is a stretch. This was the stretch where Jim pushed the chips in the center of the table.
Right.
We played the Rams, and we lost because we had three turnovers, 38-24. And then we played Detroit at home. Both of these games were at home.
That's when Sehorn's pants fell down.
We had four turnovers and lost 31-21.
Mm.
And that's when Jim got pissed. And then we kicked the crap out of the Arizona Cardinals and went on a run until the Super Bowl. So we weren't great.
No.
We were just hot.
Hot at the right time, man. Doesn't feel like the NFL is like that anymore. Maybe a little bit in the NFC, but certainly not in the AFC. Yeah, maybe it's because the Chiefs are just so freaking good.
A team can get a middle-class team can get hot and then win it. You're right. It isn't that way anymore.
It's funny because baseball and basketball and hockey right now in this moment today, not 3 years ago, today, it's kind of wide open. Like there's no,
that can happen.
There's no dynasty. It can happen. I kind of like where the NFL is and where the NBA used to be and where baseball used to be because they had it with the Yankees and to a degree the Astros.
You want the dominance?
I do. You know why? There's something fun about that. There's something fun for shooting to knock off the unbeatable.
No. It's fun for us now because our teams are so far away.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had, as Jets and Giants fans, teams that were worthy enough to win 10 games, we would hate this because we would feel like we are building all this fun and we have no shot when we get there.
Well, look, obviously, if you're a Knicks fan in the 90s, you think back.
The Bills or were the Ravens.
We'd be so frustrated by this.
Of course. And look, I use the example of the Knicks because that's a team that ran into a dynasty, couldn't beat them. Of course that would frustrate you. So I get it. It's a different perspective. But we are from a perspective of two teams that suck. I mean, that's just who we are. And right now in sports, like, if the NBA, and I don't think the NBA is having the problems that people describe, but one of the things that hurts the NBA is there's no dynasty.
No,
and their entire history is filled with dynasties that you're looking to stop. There isn't one.
Well, I think what the NBA used to do really well is create superstars.
Right.
Like star players, but they were so marketed and branded that they became these massive, iconic superstars. Guys you had to see play. If they came to your town, you wanted to go. And if they were on national television, you had to watch.
But you know what I'd argue, Teak? If, let's say, because right now you look at the NBA, I guess the Celtics have a chance to be a dynasty.
Yeah.
We looked at Denver last year and said, oh, maybe they can be a dynasty. Oklahoma City obviously has to win a lot. If any of those teams became a dynasty, their star player would become the guy you just described.
I don't think so.
Why?
Because Jokic is not, I feel like Jokic doesn't care. You remember, and maybe this is because I happened to see this thing after they won the championship, and he was like, yeah, we got to go to a parade?
Yeah, he seemed very excited
very
about it.
I'm like, well, dude, if you don't care, why should I care about you? I'm not a Nuggets fan.
Right.
Why would I care about you if you don't even care that you just did the hardest thing in your sport?
I totally get your point, but
and he won the MVP that year.
But
he was just kind of like, whatever.
He wanted to go race horses.
Right, whatever. I've made so much money, I can buy three horses and throw them in some Saudi whatever.
But maybe that's why he hasn't won back-to-back-to-back NBA championships. He hasn't even been to back. But my point is, if he was doing that, he'd become that player.
But my point is, he's the best player in the game, and he doesn't care.
Right.
Right? But was Michael Jordan wasn't that way?
No, I get that.
Right? So, you know, LeBron wasn't that way.
I get it. Look, that's, so that
problem,
may be...
The problem with basketball might be that the players, because they're so rich, I mean, it's only going to get worse because they're going to be soon be making $100 million a season, that it's a complete disconnect from the, like, the hardworking fan who doesn't have it that easy.
Yeah, but I think both things can be true. I mean, guys are making more money, but if the Celtics win the NBA title this year, which they can, in fact, if it was up to me, if it was my betting, I'd say they would, mm-hmm. and they start to become that dynasty, that'll be good for basketball. Because it'll all be about, can someone knock off Boston? And I don't think it would be diminished because Jason Tatum makes a lot of money.
Yeah, well, it's not about Jason Tatum making a lot of money. It's about making a lot of money and seemingly not caring.
Right, but I think they do
about
care.
The game.
But I think they do care. Right.
I think the Celtics do. I'm not talking about Tatum and Brown.
Jaylen Brown, yeah.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Jokic.
Right, but they're not a dynasty. They're not even close.
I know, but he won back-to-back MVP and a championship.
But it's not about,
like, he didn't care.
But it's not, and that may be the reason why they never do it. I'm only saying, like, that's all fair about Jokic. I'm simply saying if there was a team winning back-to-back championships, mm-hmm. being that dynastic team, I think in general we actually enjoy it even if we don't admit it because there's something fun about coming for the king. Like, the NFL's bulletproof. Like, they could not have a dynasty and it's okay. But the Chiefs being the Chiefs is fun. It's good. I think the other sports are hurt by not having that.
But I think the NFL was exciting when it could be any team. It could be any team.
Do you think the NFL's less exciting?
No, but I think dynasties become... It makes you hate a team. And I guess that's fine.
Is that a bad thing?
No, not necessarily.
Does that take away the excitement or the wanting to watch them lose? That actually adds to it. It's like a heel in pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. That only adds to the intrigue of them. I'm not saying we have to love the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm saying the Chiefs being the Chiefs is great for football. And it's what the NBA is missing. And I could say it's the same thing that baseball's missing. Like, we experienced the Yankee fans, because you guys are Yankee fans, at least a lot of people out there. The dynastic Yankees was good for baseball. Because it was all about, even if you hated them, you wanted to watch them just to see them lose. When the Diamondbacks play the Rangers, you couldn't give a rat's ass.
Right.
You want that.
I honestly did not watch a game of that series.
That's right. You're proving my point. Right. Now, let me ask you this. And maybe your answer is just going to be, no, I still wouldn't have watched it. If the Astros, and Sean and I were arguing 2 years ago.
I would have watched it if it was the Astros.
Yeah, why?
Because you hate them.
Yes! It's good, and I don't think I ever appreciated this as a kid, because I think as a kid it was like, screw the dynasty, have them lose, I can't wait till they're gone. But now, just appreciating it, I realize that it's more interesting. Now, I'm still watching everything, but like, there's been talk about the NBA's popularity, which I think is a little overrated in terms of their suffering, but one thing that hurts them
is regular season suffering. It's a real thing.
I disagree with you. I think basketball is consumed very differently than just regular TV ratings. So the calculations of, well, their ratings are down, doesn't mean the sport's losing popularity.
Oh, I'm not saying it's
so
losing
I disagree
popularity
with that.
Because it's, I'm talking just from a rating standpoint.
Right, and I'm saying ratings aren't a good indicator anymore. That's all I'm saying.
People
consume basketball in a very different way. They consume it via TikTok, which may be banned in a couple of days.
Yeah.
They consume it via Twitter.
No, it's already been held up, right?
It's been held up, but it hasn't officially been banned yet.
But doesn't the money that comes into the league depend mm-hmm. on the television rating?
I think their TV deal is certainly influenced by it. So you'd have to find other ways to monetize the sport, which I think they already are when kids are consuming it in a different way. But I do think people are consuming basketball in a different way. But for the traditional fan, if there was a Laker dynasty or a Celtic dynasty or even a Nuggets dynasty, it'd be better. We like shooting at the king. And look, the NFL's going to get a monster rating no matter what. But if the Kansas City Chiefs lose on Saturday afternoon, that is not good for football. We will be more interested in the AFC Championship game if it's Ravens-Chiefs or Bills-Chiefs than if it's Ravens-Texans or Bills-Texans.
Unless the Texans win the Super Bowl.
Well, what do you mean?
Because if they win, then all of a sudden they're a new player in the conversation.
Well, that's next year. I'm talking about right now.
I understand that.
Okay. If they go on and become some great team, sure. But in the moment, in the present day, I never felt this until recently, but I think it's obvious. Dynasties are good for sports. I think sports misses dynasties. The NBA is missing it. Baseball is missing it. Hockey had it for a while, obviously, with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And football's the one who has it. The sport where we brag about parity, they're the ones with the most consistencies in terms of the same teams winning.
Right.
And I know the NFL's going to get a monster rating no matter what happens, but there is something fun about gunning for the king. And right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are the king. And they're fun to watch, even if you hate them. I also don't get the vibe that people hate them. I really don't.
Nobody. Yeah, I don't think anybody does.
I don't think so.
Maybe Kelsey a little bit, but not really.
Which is incredible.
Right.
Because the history of dynasties that you eventually start to hate them and you want to see them lose. And right now, I don't think the Chiefs are there. Meanwhile, they're about to do something, if they can win this year, that no team has ever done. Mm-hmm. Like, keep this in mind before the Chiefs do it or don't do it. We've seen teams win back-to-back Super Bowls. We have never seen a team win back-to-back Super Bowls and then get to another Super Bowl. So by winning the AFC, by getting two more victories, they will do something the Steelers couldn't do, the Packers couldn't do, the Niners couldn't do, the Cowboys couldn't do, the freaking Patriots couldn't do, which is get back to a Super Bowl looking for a three-peat. I'm smiling even talking about it because it's so badass.
The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365 and powered by Verizon. Will we be sick of Taylor Swift come Saturday night?
Huh. Yeah,
she's been less of a presence this year.
But the playoffs are back.
You think they're going to show her as often as they did last year?
Oh, yeah. It became obnoxious, but you just stopped noticing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what I found myself doing. It was just not even a thing.
But I think it's going to be force-fed now.
But we also don't have Taylor Swift fatigue going into this game or this playoff like we did last year.
I think that's right. Tommy, there's not the fatigue. You anticipated seeing her and it annoyed you before you even saw her.
And I think a lot of people, like me, that were cynical of the relationship now accept the fact that they probably are in love. You know what I mean? So they actually, which makes me think, if anybody...
Conveniently in love.
Do you think she fell in love with him or was she just waiting for anybody to hit him up? Could anybody have just hit... He literally just like DM'd the most famous person in the world and she fell in love with him. Was it that easy? I mean, Travis Kelce's obviously a Hall of Fame, you know, good looking dude, but...
Well, I'll use you as an example if you don't mind.
You could use me or any single guy walking around. They could marry Taylor Swift.
I'm going to use you.
Sure.
So let's say you were single, obviously. Yeah. And you DM Taylor Swift.
Assuming she would see my DM, maybe she wouldn't because of blue check mark.
And Tay-Tay saw it and said, yeah, oh, cool, executive producer, WFN, I'll talk to him.
Also the Lou Gower, probably.
I think she would have given you the opportunity, but I think once she got to know your personality, she would have dropped you because you're not that, you're not for her.
I don't understand why you had
to. I think Travis Kelce got the opportunity because of his name, absolutely, really? And his famousness, and then won her over.
But did she know him like that? I'm not saying she's not a sports fan, but Travis Kelce?
Well,
She is a sports fan, right?
Well, Fugazi sports fan. The story is Aaron Andrews, I think, spoke to her and vouched for Travis Kelce.
Oh,
that's the background I heard.
Everybody can relate to that. How many times do we get set up or whatever?
Who wouldn't vouch for Travis
Kelce? Right, but now you know how you know they're really in love, and this is going to come back to what's on the field and why they're a little vulnerable. Let's be honest.
He's not having a great year.
Kelce a little fatter than he was last year.
Oh, you think so?
You watch, he's not as fast, and that belly, every time that shirt gets ripped up.
I don't know if you guys remember this. I do because I'm a sick freak, and we have it saved. We made a long-term bet a few months ago, a simple what will happen first bet, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift get engaged, or Travis Kelce retires. And we were all on record betting which thing will happen first. So... we'll see whether Kelce retires or he proposes to Taylor Swift. That is one of those Evan and Tiki long-term bets that we have saved the audio of.
I actually have the new Taylor Swift. Now, this will bother us more than it will the country, but another Saquon, the Giants, they love going to that one. That's the new Taylor Swift. Did you know he was a Giant? Do you know John Mara can't sleep at night? Do you know he had this great
year? Oh, yeah, they beat you up every week.
Do you know the blocking is better? Do you know this, that, and the other?
Yeah.
It's the new Taylor Swift. Is Saquon having this great year? We'll hear that a lot.
That's been going on all season long, and it even continued this past week. And what I thought was interesting in that whole regard, the whole let's just beat up the Giant stuff, is that Strahan joined in. And I thought that was interesting. On his pregame show, when talking about the Packers and talking about the Eagles and talking about the playoffs... was basically, in fact, you know what? Would you like to hear it, actually?
Sure.
We have the audio.
I didn't hear it.
We're a very prepared radio program. Here's Michael Strahan taking shots at the team he played for.
Saquon Barkley, that's going to be the first battle. Xavier McKinney, co-leader in takeaways in the NFL.
Thank you,
John. Number two in interceptions in the NFL. Thank you, New York Giants, because you let him go, we let Barkley go. Well done.
Well done. He didn't have to say it. He just kept breaking it down. But Michael Strahan even joined in on taking shots. That was about to come out weirdly. Mm-hmm. Taking shots at the New York Giants. It's like an in vogue thing.
It's become in vogue.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We saw Aikman do it. We've seen Strahan do it. Every broadcast. I think Aaron Andrews actually had the report during the Eagles game, speaking to Aaron Andrews, about how this is this great offensive line. Saquon's not used to running
through holes
like this. By
the way, I think we have the audio of that,
too.
I
do have to get that.
Would you guys like to hear that?
About Aaron Andrews?
Yeah, Aaron Andrews, this has all been going on. Like, and this has been going on all year. Here's another example. Giants aren't playing. They're irrelevant right now. Here's Aaron Andrews going out of her way to take a shot at the New York Giants.
Jordan Mailata with a great quote about Saquon Barkley and the holes that this line can create. He said, we know how to work. We know how to create space, open those holes, because we are coached so well. He said, I guess Saquon was never used to having lanes and holes to run through like this, but he's certainly having fun now.
2,000 yards worth of fun, no question.
You see what they did there?
They did make the playoffs in 2022.
I know, and Saquon rushed for 1,300 yards or something like that.
The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365 and is powered by Verizon.
He also won Rookie of the Year that we kind of conveniently forget about.
You guys are getting annoyed by this.
I'm not annoyed. It's just convenient to take shots.
It is. Oh, absolutely.
And by the way, that story was told like months ago.
Yeah.
They're acting like Saquon was Trent Richardson on the Giants.
Well, no, they're acting like what we're seeing is brand new to everybody.
Right. Right.
And so... All right, whatever.
Here's what's going on. I want to explain this very calmly to you guys because I feel for you. I know you're not annoyed, Teak, but I can see it's more like a fly flying around your head and you're swatting it away.
It's just like retelling the same story.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
Be original.
You know why they're doing it?
Why?
You want to know why they're doing it, Sean?
I guess.
You guys, and I actually have compassion when I say this. I'm really not being a troll. You're being Jetsified. They are doing to you.
The LOL Giants.
LOL Jets. Now it's LOL Giants. They are taking unfair shots at you. Knicks fans know all about this, by the way. They've emerged from this. They don't take it anymore because the Knicks are a suitable, solid basketball team. But you are now taking the LOL mantra away from some of the other local teams. And I've talked about this before, but I think these examples are just more examples. And it's going to continue on Sunday. Like, don't expect it to not. And it may be old stories, like you said, Teak. It may be them forgetting that he won Rookie of the Year or they made the playoffs of years or whatever it is. Just understand why it's happening. You are being LOL'd. You're being Jetsified. That's what's happening right now.
Well, then I think I speak for everybody in the New York area. Maybe not Tiki. Sunday, we are Ramily.
I don't know what that means.
That's what the Rams fans call themselves, the Ramily.
Ramily.
That's your response to all this?
Yeah, that's funny at all.
We're rooting for the Rams Sunday, yes.
Okay, I got you.
All right.
We're Ramily.
We are Ramily.
Is that really what they say?
Yes. Yeah, because we are family.
Yes, we are Ramily.
That is the dumbest thing.
Are they actually saying that?
They've had signage up and they're saying, we are Ramily.
T-shirts.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the t-shirts, yeah.
Oh, God.
That's a reach.
And I like the Rams. Right. I'm rooting for the Rams.
That's very corny. Well, that in of itself would make you say, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, I agree.
Really?
Yes.
If they bring the sister sledgehammer down?
No. Let's go to Jim in Elmont, New York. How are you, Jim?
Good afternoon, guys. I was going to throw out a scenario to you, Evan.
Yes?
Two choices you have concerning Pete Alonso. Okay, number one, and I'm going to throw a sweetener in. Once you make your choice, I think you go to the other one. So the first option is I get off the phone, glass breaks, Tommy comes in, Pete's leaving. Pete's going. Rip the Band-Aid off, get out of the way. Okay, number two is in about 3 weeks, top of your show, Tommy comes in, glass breaking, Pete has signed. Mm-hmm. Euphoria breaks out for an hour. Sean comes in at 3, glass breaking again. He says, guess what? We have a Jets head coach. You know, you guys go stop the presses before you tell us. Tiki, what do you think? Flores. I think Glenn, who is it? And he goes, Arthur Smith. So that's...
Yeah, who'd you say?
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith. Okay, gotcha.
And it kills the time. Arthur Smith. Okay. Now, who would you, out of those two, what choice would you take?
Flores, not even a second.
No. I'm saying of the two scenarios I gave.
Oh. Pete Alonso leaving, but I get the coach I want, or Arthur Smith and Alonso is back. It's actually a very easy choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny you asked that question because earlier off air, Sean and I were having a discussion about Juan Soto versus Cooper Flagg, where we were saying, hey, for me, not necessarily him, hey, as a Net fan, would you rather have Soto have stayed with the Yankees, but I win the lottery and get Cooper Flagg, or I get Soto and I don't win the lottery? And I said, I got to tell you, the nature of the sport tells me Cooper Flagg,
right,
even if he's not established yet. Just the nature of the sport. And that's my same answer. The head coach in the NFL is so important that, yeah, the Mets can win without Pete Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm giving you my opinion, a very strong opinion, about why I want him back and why it's important. I have never once said they can't win without Pete Alonso. I'm disagreeing with them that it's a negligible loss, but they can win. Yep. The Mets can win the World Series next year. But if they hire Arthur Smith, real talk, they're dead. They're dead forever. They're dead for another 3 years of Gacy and like crap. So it is not even close. Would I rather have Pete's gone, Mets are pivoting, and I get Flores or Glenn, who I'm good with either, versus Pete shockingly comes back, but I'm stuck with Arthur Smith?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Right, it's a hopeful unknown as opposed to a keep your fingers crossed known. That's what it is.
Yes.
And so with Aaron Glenn, you kind of just hope and believe that he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Because that's what he projects. And Flores was already good. He just kind of fell out of favor a little bit in Miami after having a couple of a bad season. But with Arthur Smith, you kind of know what you're getting. And it's, I don't know, it's hard to be enthusiastic about that. He might be a great
offensive play caller. You know what concerns about Arthur Smith? Besides my own opinion about him? Because I have my own opinion. I don't think you would sway it necessarily. Right. You'd teach me stuff, but you wouldn't sway it. Your response to Arthur Smith and Connor Hughes, two independent-minded, smart football guys from very different backgrounds. You played. Mm-hmm. He's an analyst. Both of you almost threw up when I suggested Arthur Smith, not suggested, talked about Arthur Smith. And so it's just telling me more that my gut feeling is right,
yeah,
that would be a horrible hire.
It's not inspiring. Inspiring that something great is going
to happen.
That's
a kind way of saying crap.
Oh, it is. I mean,
it's crap, Evan. It's a crap hire.
I'm putting a positive spin, a positive word on a negative interpretation.
It is very nice of you, by the way. We'll get back to your phone calls. A lot of different things on the table. The Giants being mocked, even though they're not playing. The Jets dragging their feet on the coaching search. The Mets moving on from Pete Alonso, and they made a big move today for A.J. Minter. And we give you our thoughts on the battle of the weekend. Lamar Jackson and the Bills, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens versus Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. A lot of football to get to as well. 888-808-1019. We will make our NFL picks coming up for Divisional Weekend in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, we can't ignore a big event that's happening in New York City tonight. In fact, it's happening in just a couple of hours, and we will address it in the 5 o'clock hour as well, and that is the return of Julius Randle. Don't give me the preseason. Don't tell me about the preseason game between the Knicks and the Timberwolves. That does not count. But Julius Randle is returning tonight as a member of the Timberwolves as the Knicks take on the T-Wolves. And I didn't even think about this. I've gotten a lot of emails at the Rico B about this. And this is something I would normally think of, but I haven't. And that is the fact that the Mets home opener this season is against the Toronto Blue Jays. And so if Pete Alonso, as rumored, leaves the New York Mets and signs with the Blue Jays, he would be at Mets home opening day as a member of the Blue Jays.
Tribute video.
Oh, no question.
Let's get it.
No doubt about it. He was a great man. He was a wonderful man.
Of course
wonderful
he was.
Wonderful man.
Of course he was.
And even if you're mad at him and Scott Boras, I was talking to a guy, Paul Rosenberger, who works here, Vincent Von Vincent. He's a Met fan. He's irrational. But I asked him, what are you thinking? What's your vibe right now? And he says, I'm mad at Pete. Pete's had every opportunity to stay. Mm-hmm. Mets made him a big offer. Mets made him a recent offer. This is on him. Even if you're mad at him about the negotiations, I think it'd be lunacy to boo him.
Yeah, he's not going to get booed. Because at the end of the day, if he's not a Met in 2025, it's going to feel like it was the Mets not wanting him, not the other way around.
Even if Pete did turn down all these offers.
100%.
I agree with you.
This now feels like the Mets are moving on.
Yes, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
And I think it's very simple. It's almost like cutting the Band-Aid off immediately or taking the Band-Aid off. If he's a Blue Jay and it's opening day and Soto gets his standing O and Lindor gets his standing O, when Pete comes up for the Blue Jays, I mean, it's an easy standing ovation and we all move on. I don't think there's any hesitation, right?
Enough that he steps out of the box
yes.
to stop the game.
Yeah.
For
100%. In fact, knowing Pete, he's so awkward, but I love him. That's why I grew my beard for him. Pete is so awkward, Sean. He would step out of the box before the cheers even started. Like, he'd be walking up there, getting ready to tip his hat, like taking it off. By the way, my hair is with me. This is my beard I have in my hands. This is the beard I grew for Pete Alonso. And then I shaved it to get the Mets going.
Stop. Don't show the TV crowd.
And I'm going to show the TV crowd. This is the hair. I'm holding it in my hand with two hands. It's amazing how the hair hasn't aged. It looks like I just cut it. And it was May.
What do you think hair does?
What do you think? It's going to turn gray?
It doesn't even smell. You want to smell it? Take.
No.
Come on, give it a whiff.
No chance.
Come on, come on.
It's your hair. I don't want to sniff your hair.
Sean, can you sniff
not doing it. I've done so much for the show. The show pony is trotted plenty. I'm not sniffing your hair.
The show pony? Is that what you said?
Yes, the show pony's gone for plenty of trots. Not that one.
Well, I do have the hair in front of me. I haven't figured out what to do with it, but I'm hoping bringing back the beard hair will somehow cause a miracle. Maybe Alex Cohen is going to hear this, and she's going to mediate, you know, a deal between the Mets and
Because
Pete Alonso.
Of your hair? I doubt it.
Yeah, she'll see how much it means to loyal customers.
She might say people are doing crazy stuff because of Pete. Get him out of here.
It could backfire. All I know is since the hair came out, the Mets signed A.J. Minter to a two-year, $22 million deal. Facts of the facts. Ozzy is calling from Woodridge. What should I do with the hair, Ozzy? You're usually creative.
What up, Ozzy?
What's up, dude? Evan.
Yeah.
Between the matted beard's return, you being a ginger, and being a very, very little person, and your questionable deodorant practices that are sporadic at best, you are rumple stink.
Ah, very good. I dropped a lot of the hair, by the way, which I'm now cleaning up. This is not a good situation.
This is like sand, though. You're not going to get every little piece.
No, I'm not. BT's going to be like, what is this stuff in front of me?
Can't wait for that reaction.
What seat does... Who's here next?
After this show?
Keith.
Yeah,
does
but Keith,
he sit there?
No, he sits where you sit.
All right, good.
Luckily, the next person that will be in this seat will be BT. It's only me being BT who sit in this seat.
What do you mean? You don't know who sits where in the weekend?
No, I think they all sit in the tiki seat. It's called the tiki seat now, by the way.
Yes.
It's not the mic seat anymore. It's a tiki seat.
Mm. Yes.
Anyhow, go ahead, Ozzy. What else you got?
Oh, they're going to be like the next person sitting in a barber's chair. They're going to have that all over their clothes.
Oh, come on.
Oh, God.
Ozzy, you're making me squirm a little.
Speaking of squirming, and this goes back to Evan and Sean's disagreement over winter and summer. Evan loves the winter so much because he subconsciously realizes that his non-deodorant self, he has to smell himself constantly, and he smells 10 times worse probably in the summer because of all the sweat and no deodorant. It's disgusting.
So mean, Ozzy.
That's why he loves the winter. He smells slightly less.
I think there is some truth to what you're saying.
No.
Not that I smell during the summer, but who wants to sweat?
You don't sweat when you have 14 layers on?
No. During the winter when it's cold out?
That's why you need good deodorant.
Yes.
It protects you.
Well, yeah. And I've started to use deodorant now, so don't worry. It's all good.
You think at this point we'll take some deodorant.
Right,
with
any deodorant.
Any, right.
Yeah.
But a little show business to take care of. The Blue Skirts met fanboy Sean's quota in points in their three-game road trip. They scored a point in the three games.
That's a great point.
So therefore, the bet is on.
All right, nice. So let's clarify here. We had a bet last year
that we want Sean
to engage in again between Loogie and Sean. They both root for only one of the Garden teams. So the bet last year that we wanted to repeat was, who goes further this season, the New York Rangers or the New York Knicks? Tommy, obviously, has been game. Dudes, dogs, damage. Sean has not accepted because he's afraid. He knows the Rangers suck.
New York Ranger fan.
Some may say Morash is scared. And I don't know where I've heard that before, but some may say that. So Sean has ducked this bet. And obviously the loser of the bet has to dress up as the trophy of the other sports championship.
They're above 500, Sean.
The Rangers are above 500, and Sean declared on the radio last week, if the Rangers on their trip can get a point in each game, I will accept the bet. Now, great job by Oz, because honestly, I forgot the Rangers were playing last night, but they did play last night. They beat the Utah Hockey Club in Utah 5-3. So they succeeded in what Sean said they needed to do. So, it is now time on Friday, January 17th, for Sean Morash to formally accept the Loogie Knicks Rangers bet. The floor is yours.
The Rangers still out of a playoff spot right now. Okay.
Do you think they're working their way into a playoff spot at some point?
Of course I'm accepting the bet. The Rangers are back, baby. This Knick team ain't beating the Cavs and Celtics. The Rangers got the same record the Panthers did 2 years ago. The Blues did when they won a cup. We're going to the cup, baby.
There it is.
I'll see you at the shore dressed as the cup, you lunatic. You see Chris Kreider in that third period last night in Utah.
I did not, but I believe you.
Yeah, we're trailing 3-2, three third period goals. They're back. Igor almost scored last night.
So, Tiki, as the lawyer of WFAN, because you're smarter than all of us, so yes. I figure you understand this. There's no loopholes here.
No, this is
zero loopholes.
It's back on.
It is a back on bet. Whichever team goes further in the postseason, let me just clarify. If they both lose in the first round, okay?
Yeah.
The deal is you both dress as trophies. Is that a deal?
It goes by games.
Who goes further? So if the Knicks lose in seven, Rangers lose in six.
Right. The only way they both wear the trophy is if they both lose in whatever.
Yes. Right.
So if it's a tie.
Tie. Yep. Is what you're
now, going. I would be willing, I think Tiki would too, if they both go to the conference finals and lose in the same amount of games, I think we'd be willing to call it off and say you both won in a way. Because I think that's a good run for both teams.
Yeah, well, you guys get a Kool-Aid party.
Yeah.
Also, if they both go to the conference finals, we'll have already had our Shore show.
No, that's a good point. Well, then you'll have to do it after
the
fact.
We would just do it here.
We'll do it somewhere else.
That's fine.
I look forward to this. I'm very excited.
You think about that.
Yeah.
We can
luck
timing
out.
Matters.
We lucked out because the Knicks laid down like dogs last year.
That's true. Dudes and dogs. So, all right. So, it's all accepted now. Knicks fans, Ranger fans.
I'm proud of you, Sean.
I am too.
I am very proud of you.
I'm uber calm. This Ranger team is cruising.
Now, how do you feel, Lou? Because your basketball team is good. And I think you know that. And you feel good. But
not as good as the
Rangers. How do I feel about the Knicks?
What if you
get Sean?
Well, let's start with the Knicks.
The Knicks relative to the Sean's Rangers.
Yeah, because hockey's...
That's what matters.
And Luke, you know this. Hockey's crazy. They could get hotter in the cup. Like, that's possible.
Right? You're right that there's more... Well, there's more variables in hockey, but I still think Sean's team, much like his belly, is soft, and I think they are not going to go very far, and I have the utmost confidence in my basketball team.
Mm. Even though you're a tier down from the better teams?
I that's fair. They're a tier down from OKC and from Boston.
And Cleveland. And Cleveland.
Did you see the game last night?
That's what Cleveland beat Oklahoma. Cleveland beat Oklahoma City 2 weeks
earlier.
They
got absolutely blitzed.
So what does that mean? You got blitzed by OKC too. What the hell does that mean?
Would you agree that the Knicks have owned the Cavs over the last couple of years?
Different Cavs team.
Okay. You agree? You say that.
How have they done against the Cavs this year? The Kenny Cavs.
Okay.
The Kenny Cavs.
The Kenny Cavs, that's what we're calling them now?
Yeah, the Kenny Cavs.
We'll see how the Kenny Cavs do when they get to the playoffs because they still have a lot to prove based on their postseason history.
I do have a feeling that Sean will be dressing up as the Stanley Cup. I think that's going to be the outcome of this.
And remember, Sean's already going to be in the dunk tank there, so he might be in the... No, he would be in the Larry O'Brien trophy, by the way.
That's right, the Larry O'Brien, I apologize.
Would be the Stanley Cup. He would be the Larry O'Brien.
Yes, they dress as the trophy of the other sport, but you are right. Like, because of our football picks, Tiki is going to be selling anti-Jalen Brunson t-shirts outside of a Knick game. In fact, it's a done deal. We've all got this sealed up, ladies and gentlemen. We are taking our show to a live broadcast on Tuesday night. Tuesday.
Four short days. Buy a t-shirt from me.
That's right. You can buy a t-shirt. It's Loogie's anti-Jalen Brunson tweet on a t-shirt live at Knicks Nets at Barclays Center. We are doing our show from Barclays Center. And I'd say at about 5:30 p.m., for those that are going, many Knicks fans, some Nets fans.
And dress warm, by the way. It's going to be 7 degrees outside.
It's going to be cold. If you come outside the concourse, Tiki Barber will be out there selling. There'll be shirts there that you can acquire of Tommy Lugauer basically saying Jalen Brunson sucks.
No.
That is happening Tuesday night. In Brooklyn, it's a done deal. Cannot wait.
It was not sucks, but this was the worst Knicks signing ever.
Basically, I have to find the tweet to read it.
We are embellishing that tweet.
I have the t-shirt sent to me because I'm picking them up. I
could read Sean is picking up. And by the way, this is legitimate. We have 25 made t-shirts.
I remember what I said.
This is a very valuable thing you could acquire. You're not only getting an awesome t-shirt making fun of Tommy.
Yeah.
Tiki Barber. A legend, a future Hall of Famer, is going to be outside of Barclays Center. Be like, t-shirts here.
I think I may have to keep one. I'm going to keep one. So only 24.
Yeah. 24, fair enough.
I need to get one to Jalen Brunson himself.
Yeah. That is true.
And if you buy
we don't necessarily have to do that.
You buy two, maybe a little discount on the Big League Chew and Gatorade at the pop-up table we're going to have.
Very possible.
All right, here we go. The tweet on the t-shirt says, Jalen Brunson is a good player. He's not great. This would be typical Knicks, period. Never ends, period. And, of course, the most important part, 15 likes.
So these are on T-shirts, and Tuesday night at Barclays Center, Knick fans, Net fans, you're all more than welcome. We are broadcasting our show out there. Should be a fun show. But late in the show, as we get closer to tip, Tiki's going
this
outside.
This is the danger of tweeting, because that tweet nowadays, Tommy usually gets like 1,000 likes on it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have been dragged under the coals.
Well, Evan's making sure that that happens now. Yeah.
Also, no worries. If you're too cold, you don't buy a shirt, you can still find us, because at some point, we're going to be eating more ash inside the Barclays
Center.
Yeah, we
have a very busy night
at
Barclays
Center. Do we know where
we're going? No, we don't.
We're looking for recommendations.
We're still soliciting recommendations at the Barclays Center for eating more ash.
We're going to begin.
We haven't even... We haven't even solicited it yet.
I think we said it. Find somebody that's been there a week ago.
Yeah, maybe I passingly said it. But the way this is going to work now on Tuesday, and this is for Knick and Net fans, we're going to have a fun night with you. Because we're out there.
So we'll heavily solicit the suggestions on Monday.
Yeah, so the way it works is we will pick, based on your recommendations, a food at Barclays Center. Okay? A lot of options. A lot of great options. And I'd say right before the game, because Sean wants to watch the game, especially before the Nets are down by 30.
Yeah.
We are going to purchase that item. Sean will give a very formal review of it. It's called Eating More Ash. And that will be on social media for you to digest. And you can join in. So if you want to wait online with Sean and I, because I'll be there with him. I think Tiki will be there too. Unless you escape away to a suite. Loogie will escape away to a suite. We're going to all eat it. And so you can eat more ash with more ash.
While wearing my t-shirt.
While wearing, if you're lucky enough to get one.
All right.
I can't wait. Tuesday's going to be so awesome. Until the game starts, obviously.
Yeah. Nice empty train in the fourth quarter.
Tiki, it's okay to leave when it's Knicks by 30. Then we give you permission. But that is a true story. So if you haven't gotten your tickets to go to the Nets-Knicks game, now you should. Because not only can you eat more ash with more ash, but you have a chance to acquire a very special t-shirt from Tiki Barber.
The Loogie special.
The Loogie special. This is going to be a great Tuesday. Let's get back to some of your phone calls, including Greg in Mineola. How are you, Greg?
What up, very Greg? Good, very good. Thanks for taking my call. I was at the Islanders Flyers game last night, and I was at Penn State Notre Dame last weekend. So
look at you.
Dude, you're busy, man.
You're on some kind of run, that's for sure.
So I just wanted to, Ty Cobb says the hardest thing to do in all sports is what? Hit a baseball.
Yeah.
Okay? All the announcers are quarterbacks from A to Z, and everyone says you need a quarterback, you need a quarterback, you need a quarterback. In 2018, the Giants took Barkley from Penn State, place I went.
Yep.
And then with the 106th pick, which I think was his fifth, which was their fifth, they took a guy named Kyle Lollett, a quarterback.
I do, from Syracuse.
Lolletta.
Right?
Yeah.
Lolletta.
Right. Lolletta.
He's from Richmond. What was Richmond?
Yeah.
I don't think Syracuse for some
You're
reason.
Thinking of Ryan Nassib.
Oh.
Right, right.
I get them confused.
Okay. So he played two games, no yards, no plays. There was a player picked 266. You probably don't know him, but his name is Jordan Mulata.
We do know him.
6'7".
Yeah.
6'7", 366 pounds.
Yeah.
But, and they don't, rugby player. So obviously you have to think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah.
But it just drives me crazy. You have Boomer, quarterback, toughest position. You have everyone, toughest position. Hurts was basically concussed last week and hasn't played in a month. He had so much time to play that he was more than adequate. Until someone starts thinking outside of the box and getting a competent offensive line before they take a quarterback, you're just going to have the same thing over and over.
I don't think it's you know what I think it is? I think teams, and we've seen this, like Dave Gettleman's a great example. Dave Gettleman tried to fix the offensive line.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as fix the offensive line. You have to draft and develop the right players. Like the Giants invested a premium pick on Evan Neal.
Yeah.
The Jets invested a premium pick on Mekhi Becton.
Right. Well, I mean, now Mekhi Becton is on that Eagles offensive line.
Because they changed positions.
Well, also, but
that'll happen to Evan Neal in a few years. Just watch.
Think about that draft that he was referring to when the Giants took Lolletta and Jordan Mailata was drafted, whatever, how many picks behind him. The kid barely played football. He was a rugby player. He was just massive, and it was a project. The reason they could take a flyer on him, because their starting left tackle was Jason Peters, who was a perennial Pro Bowl all pro. He didn't have to play right away. And so there's a reason that the Eagles' offensive line has been so good for so long. It starts with Jeff Stoutland, who is their offensive line coach. We had a caller call and talk about him before. But it's also because Howie Roseman is one of the best in the business at his job, because he's built these teams and then he's layered these teams. What have I talked about with the Giants, right? Guy gets hurt, you're screwed because the guy who's backing up is not nearly on the same level with him. Howie Roseman has had the luxury of taking, let's call them, projects behind their great players.
Right.
And then when, say, for instance, Jason Kelce retires, you have Cam Jurgens step right in and make the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Why? Because he sat behind him for 2 or 3 years, and by the time he got his chance to play, the culture was already established within him, and all he had to do was just follow suit. Just don't mess it up. Right? So in order to create a lasting, successful team, you have to be able to do that. Why were the Giants successful, you know, at the end of my era and for the next, like, 5 years? Because they could, you know, let's go draft a Brandon Jacobs in 2004. Why? Well, we don't really need him to play because Tiki's here. But as soon as Tiki retires, guess who took over and was fantastic and scored 15 touchdowns or 12 touchdowns a year? So that Giant, you know, why am I forgetting the GM's name? Jerry Reese. That Jerry Reese Giants team had the luxury to layer depth underneath already good players. And an offensive line, as we all remember, with the Sneeze and the David Deals and Richie Sorberg and Kareem and obviously Sean O'Hara, they could just layer depth. And when you can do that, you're going to be successful,
and
it's going to be sustainable. The Giants aren't even close to that.
No.
The Eagles have been doing it for a decade.
The Eagles are the definition of that.
Right.
We can hate them all we want. We got to respect them. They're damn good.
100%.
Till they lose on Sunday to the LA Rams. More on that later when we make our NFL picks.